sing it on the last and near the cross. I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. Tonight we're going to have a special song brought to us. Brother Charles is going to give us a special number and song tonight. Amen.
Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide. Oh, let me feel thee near me. The world is ever near. I see the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and within. But Jesus, draw thou nearer and shield my soul from sin. Oh, Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art in glory, thou shalt thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my master and my friend. Amen.
And what's more in your hymn book, turn if you would please to number 120. This is, you know, we call this midweek prayer meeting service. And so let's sing Whisper of Prayer, number 120, number 120. All together tonight, whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon, whisper a prayer in the evening to keep your heart in tune. God answers prayer the morning, God answers prayer at noon, God answers prayer in the evening to keep your heart in tune. Jesus may come come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening to keep your heart in tune. I think that last verse is very pertinent to the time we're living.
Bro Charles, that's the best I've ever heard that song, because that's the first time I've ever heard that song. But anyhow, hey, we're glad you're here tonight, and glad you came out. And, you know, it's been a wonderful week so far. I mean, here we are. We're still alive and kicking, right? So that's good. I just want to give you a report from one of our missionaries, the Petersons, Arlen and Lisa Peterson in Uganda. He's very active in the East Africa Baptist College that's there, and said we had a group of pastors from Gospel Light went to some areas in northern Uganda to promote the college, and many new students have come as a result, including a group from the South Sudanese refugee camps. Said the students help to keep things clean and maintain in the compound through a work and study program. That is a big help with so much construction taking place and with the resulting debris. Because of all the efforts, there's now one new and one renovated dining hall, two more public restrooms, an IT office, a new classroom building and weight room, and a college and an overnight parking area for motorcycle taxis, a modified print room and security office, and a new septic system for the church area. And so, man, that is a blessing. Thank you for your prayers regarding the printing ministry. The digital printing press has arrived in Uganda. They say they're in the process of being cleared through customs. The print room received another remodel in the last month and now looks to be ready to receive the presses. Praise the Lord. So keep praying for them, all right? Keep praying for that work over there. And I know they're very, very busy serving the Lord, so that is a good thing. Remember, if you will, to pray for Brother Doug. He needs your prayer. Keep praying for Brother Brett Schneider. Don't forget to keep praying for him and pray that God will just help him along the way and regain some strength. And everybody else that's on the prayer list, pray for them. Does anybody have anybody new maybe we don't know about? Pray for Brother and Ms. Kelly's daughter. She had an arm shoulder manipulation. Free it up. It was locked up, so they freed that up and said, Ms. Kelly was telling me they told her there was going to be pain. It was real painful. I thought, yeah, I don't see how it could be anything but hurt. But anyhow, so one thing I'd tell you is keep your arms moving so they don't lock up on you, okay? I see you back there, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Wednesday, that's my understanding. Right, next Wednesday, I'm supposing. Brother Leek is having surgery next Wednesday. He's going to have some amputation on his foot. And so you pray for him. He's not excited about that. And so pray for him. I know he's worried that it'll hurt his ability to do what God wants him to do. So do pray for them. Pray about their daughter's situation. They're getting more information. So along that line, you might rejoice with the Dunbar family. They had a little girl born last night, all right, last evening, and I think about 7:30 is what Brother Dunbar sent me. So you pray for them that that'll continue to go well. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. What's their name? Athey family. They've been told their baby that's going to be born. For those I cannot have heard that, they've been told that baby is going to be born is probably not going to live very long because of heart conditions, maybe stillborn. So you pray about that. All right. Pray for them. the Lord is able to do much more than anybody else. So you just pray God's will might be done, all right? Definitely pray for that if you would, all right? All right, let's stand together. We're going to bring our offering tonight, as we always do on Wednesday. And the instruments will play, and you, if you will, bring your offering and put it in. Miss Carson picked out the offertory tonight. Okay. Mary had a little lamb. No, I just got it. All right. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you for the privilege we have to come bring our petitions to you. Lord, we think about the Athey family, Lord. Folks that are burdened and I'm sure concerned, maybe brokenhearted. And Lord, you be with them. Comfort them as only you can. Help them, Lord. And we pray your will would be done in the matter of this new baby is going to be born. Lord, I pray for the leaks. We've prayed for them now for years. But Lord, they still need a touch from you. Lord, I pray for Brother Leak and the surgery that he's facing, that Lord, you'd encourage him along the way. Lord, be with him, be with Hannah. And Lord, touch each one that's involved. And be Brother Brett Schneider, help him, Lord, strengthen him, that he'd be able to get out of that facility. And Lord, we just ask for your presence, your meeting with us tonight. We pray the will of God would be done. Speak to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, bring your offering.
Once more in your hymn book tonight. Stand once more together. Turn to number 194. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Number 194. All together on the first word. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for thy use our fold prepare. Jesus, Jesus, bought us thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us thine we are. Sing the third. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to receive us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Lift it out on the last, early let us seek thy favor. Early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosom fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, Thou hast loved us, love us still.
Come on.
Sing 302. 302, Pastor request. Glad that are. Jesus loves even me. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Last verse.
There's only one song I
can sing. When in his beauty I see the great King.
This shall my
song in eternity be.
Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me.
Can you be seated? Aren't you glad he loves you? I tell you what a wonderful thing in the Bible that Jesus loves even me. What a blessing. I've tried to kind of gently nudge my brother to sing that song. I've mentioned several times there's a song in the book, we never sing it, but he never took the hint. So tonight I just said, sing it. How many of you, that's the first time you've ever tried to sing that song? First time you ever sang that song. And it's okay. Not going to embarrass you. We're not going to ask you to come up here and do it again. It's all right. See, that's the problem. We don't sing that song enough. So put it on your list, all right? Take your Bible, Mark chapter 4, okay? Mark chapter 4. All three verses of that song have a wonderful message. Wonderful message. Mark chapter 4, if you will, tonight. Pray for me, boy, my allergies are stirred and they're excited. I'm not nearly as excited about them as they are, all right? But I may snort and stammer, but we'll get through, all right? We're going to begin reading in verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and thy seed, the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, whosoever shall we liken, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, it's less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, becometh greater than branches, greater than all herbs. I'm having trouble reading tonight. And shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. I've said the Lord used parables oftentimes to teach the truth that he taught. And some people, they get confused by parables. But verse 30 really kind of gives us a good description, a good definition of a parable. The Bible says, you know, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? Hey, that's what a parable is. A parable is it is a likening or a comparison. You know, it compares things. The Lord compares things that we don't know to things that we do know, so we can understand those things that we don't know. All right,
Maybe the two greatest words for understanding your Bible is the word like, the word as. And when you see those words, all right, it's not like teenagers. There's still teenagers that say every other word is like. Like. Now, that's not as common as it used to be. Thank God. All right. But, you know, it just every word out of their mouth was like. Now, we're not talking about that deal. But oftentimes the Bible will tell you something is like something else or it is as something else. Those two words need your attention when you find them in the Scriptures. So look at them. Look it over and let it help you. All right. People often say, well, the Bible, why that old King James Bible is so hard to understand. But if you read it and think about it, it'll interpret itself. It will interpret itself. You will understand from what's there. Tonight, what I want to do is really connect these two parables that we find here because I believe there is a connection to them. And there's several scriptures and several parables, in the Scriptures that deal with seed and sowing and harvesting. And if a Bible reader gets careless, it's easy to think the interpretations are pretty much all the same, but that's not true, all right? That is not true. I tried to speak to you about that this past Sunday, talking about the parable of the candle, all right? And that light under a bushel. It is not the same as that parable that talks about the light and, you know, hiding it, and like we make the course, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Well, this parable is a little different from that. And these two here, same way, all right? For instance, we're looking, and it says the kingdom of God in verse 26 is if a man should cast seed into the ground. Here's another parable where there's somebody sowing some seed. Now, you might just automatically want to assume that the sower is Jesus Christ. But I don't believe that's the case, and I'll show you tonight. So just a few things that maybe God will help us with as we look here, all right? First of all, I do want you to notice there in verse 26, the Bible says that a man cast seed into the ground. Man cast seed into the ground. Now, that sower, that man, is not the Lord Jesus Christ. You said, why do you figure that? Well, for one thing, the Bible says this guy sleeps and he rises night and day. But the most telling thing is at the end of verse 27 says he knoweth not how. He knoweth not how. Well, that's not our Lord. All right? It is not him whatsoever. That cannot describe him. All right? Obviously can't do it. So what this sower, this one who casts seed into the ground, I believe represents what we today would call a soul winner. We today would call a soul winner. Now, if you don't like that term, okay, that's fine. Then let me put it where maybe it strikes home more. That man who cast seed into the ground, are you ready? It's you. It's you. You're to be the one. Preacher, I don't know nothing about farming. It's okay. You don't have to. I'll be real honest with you. It doesn't really take a lot of genius to put seed on the ground. It doesn't take a lot of that at all for the child of God. The business of sowing the seed is an easy thing. But could you just stay with me a little bit tonight before you're already saying, I ain't listening. He's going to want me to do something I don't want to do. Well, hang in there just a little bit, will you? Stay with me just a little bit, all right? Hey, this business of casting that seed on the ground, can I just say this to you? That's our job. That is our job. That's it. It is to get out the seed. Now, that seed, no doubt, is the Word of God. We're to get it out. We're to get it out. Let me say this. You don't have to have the gift of gab to get the seed out. You don't have to have a great Bible knowledge. You don't have to have a great intellectual ability. You do not have to have a theological degree to do this. It is so simple, all right? just so simple. It is an easy thing. If you'll just take the time and spend just a little bit of time getting the seed out. So, well, how do I do it? Well, it can be as simple as passing out a tract. Just as simple as passing out a tract. We've got tracts back there in the back. They're available. They're there for you to pick up and you to take, and you just pass those out. If you're bashful, leave them where somebody can find them. Just leave them where somebody can find them. You can leave them on counters. You can leave them. You can leave them in restrooms. All right. Hey, I'm just telling you, you can leave them anywhere, everywhere. If you don't mind, hey, it's not real hard. I'll give you the words. You can memorize this speech. All right, here it is. Here, would you read this? Here, would you read this? Five words. Most of us can get five words. Here, would you read this? I'd like to give you something. And just stick it out there. So what do you do if they say no? Take it back. I'm not asking you to knock them down. Get on their chest and stick it in their pocket and say, you better not take it out or I'm whoop you. I don't want you to do that, all right? But I just want you to take and get that seed out. Folks, I want you to understand, that's our job. We speak to folks to spread the word of God. We may give so that Scripture can be bought and distributed. We've got packets. We've got John Romans and a couple other things in there. You can take them and just hand them out. Nothing else, you can hang them on doorknob. Hang them on doorknob. There's so many ways, all right? But all of those things spread the seed, if you will, in that grain. They're putting that seed out, all right? Now, here's the challenge. We look, and the Bible says, the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. Man doesn't know how it's possible for that seed to get in the ground and then bring forth and grow into a fruit-bearing plant. We don't understand how that does. Now you said, old preacher, yeah, we do nowadays. We've studied that thing out, and we've figured out how it all works, and scientists got it all figured out, and they can tell you. No, what they do is describe the process. They can describe the process, but they can't tell you how it happens. They can describe the process. But there's a difference between describing a process and just being able to really tell you how it takes place. For instance, you can take a kernel of corn, drop that in a hole, cover it over with a little dirt, and that one little bitty kernel will grow up to a full stalk. And it'll produce at least one ear of corn, and that one ear of corn will have 90-plus little kernels on it. Now, you tell me how that happens. You just tell me how that happens. Now, like I say, you can describe it. But, man, when it comes, we don't know how that works, all right? We don't know how that works. I can describe it, but I can't explain it, all right? Well, I'm going to tell you this. I can't explain to you how the seed of the Word of God reaches into the heart of man to bring forth conviction and repentance unto salvation. I can't explain that either. I really can't explain. I can tell you how I got saved. I can tell you my salvation experience. I can tell you how God brought conviction. But I really can't explain to you how it was the preaching of the Word of God and the teaching in Sunday school of the Word of God that God began to use and to work on me until I realized, hey, I need to do what these people have been talking about. I need to put my trust. I need to call upon the Lord to save my soul. It's a personal thing. I can't explain how all of that comes about. I can't explain it. Man, oftentimes I've seen given the word of God to people and it was, they, okay, okay, okay. And I figured I'm spitting in the wind. But later on, God used that. Now, I can't explain it to you. I can't explain it to you how the Lord does that. But I'm just telling you, it happens. All right? It happens. And we need to allow that and understand that God uses it. You said, well, how does he do it? Well, look at verse 28. Verse 28, the Bible says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. When the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle because the harvest has come. Hey, you'll know the truth. It is an absolutely supernatural work. Supernatural. Hey, don't lose your place here. We'll come back. But go with me to Genesis chapter 1. It's easy to find that. It's right after the table of contents. All right? Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I want you to look here. And because we just read there, we just read in Mark, we read these words, the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. There's always the smart aleck that says, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, any Bible believer has the answer. The chicken. Chicken. God made the chicken. Chicken laid the egg. Egg then hatched another chicken. But the chicken was here first. But what about that seed? Look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Hey, I got news for you. Those first plants grew, they didn't have to have seeds. Nobody had to plant them. God just said the ground's going to bring it forth, and it did. It did. So, preach, that's impossible, not with God. I told you it's a supernatural work, all right? It is a supernatural work. When we witness and we give out the seed, I want you to understand that is a supernatural work of God. It's a supernatural work of God. You say, wait a minute, I'm the one that's doing it. No, you aren't. The only thing you're doing is giving out the seed. The work of God in the salvation of a soul is a supernatural thing. We do not and we cannot save anybody. I can't do it. I can't make anybody get saved. You cannot do it. Now, down through history, so y'all won't accuse me of being something I'm not. Down through history, Muslim folks made converts at the point of a sword. They would come in and take a land, and they'd have the sword on that person and said, don't you feel led to be a follower of Allah? Now, I didn't say they said it exactly that way, all right? But that was the gist. And oftentimes, with that sword at their throat, the guy said, yes, I feel the Lord's leading. All right? Now, you can't do that and make a person a Christian. You cannot do that. That's absolutely impossible, all right? I cannot make anybody get saved. I cannot save them. But I tell you what, you and I both can do. We can plow, we can plant, and we can water the seed of the Word of God. That is our job, okay? We can plant it. We can plow the ground. We can water that seed. But it's God who gives the increase. God gives that increase. He causes that seed to sprout in the heart of a sinner and grow. When you got saved, he did that with you. Man, that seed sprouted and it began to grow. Man, conviction fell on you. I can remember, I've told you, and I won't go into the whole story, but... And as a child, I remember the convicting power of God that was in my heart and brought conviction to me. I knew I was lost. I knew I needed to get saved. Wasn't any doubt about it whatsoever. It wasn't the wisdom and the wise words of the preacher. It wasn't the amazing talent of my Sunday school teacher. No, sir. It was the supernatural work of God. Exactly what it was that worked in me, all right? Now, you can present the gospel to someone and they can receive it. But you can't save them. But I don't know how many times I've had somebody say, "Preacher, you remember you saved me." Now, I know what they mean. I know what they're saying, but the way they're saying it is not true. And I usually am quick to point out, no, I didn't save you. The Lord saved you. I just told you how you could get saved. And that's our job, all right? That one that you lead to the Lord might one day say, "Well, you saved me." No, that didn't happen. Salvation is the absolute supernatural work of God. It's God's doing, all right? But I want to say this to you. That seed will not and cannot grow unless it's planted. That seed's not growing, and nothing's happening unless it gets planted. Unless somehow, some way, it gets planted. Now that is our job. Hey, that is our job. We're to get the seed out. We're to get the seed out. Now, I'll say this, I'll emphasize to you, I don't want you to get discouraged if you witness to people and you say, "Well, nobody gets saved." Our job is to get the seed out. That's our job. We shouldn't get excited. Yes, I like to see people saved. But man, it's our job to get the seed out. And here's exactly what it requires. Here's what it requires. If you look down there in verse 29, all right, well, wait a minute, I'm skipping something I don't want to skip. When that seed gets planted, when that fruit is there, it needs to be harvested immediately when the fruit appears. I remember my dad for years planted a garden. But we were, my brother and I think my wife at some point, maybe we were the willing and sometimes unwilling helpers, all right? But we were involved in it. And I can remember Dad coming in and saying, "Hey, let's get out there. We got to pick the garden." "Man, come on. We just picked it the other day. It's ready. We got to pick it." And if you don't pick it when it's ripe, it loses. I mean, you can get it at the peak of freshness, if you will, when it's just the very best. My dad used to grow beans. But the best snap beans the best tasting snap beans you can grow are pinto beans. But if you're going to snap them, you can't let them get too ripe. Because you can't snap them then. But as far as I'm concerned, that is the best tasting snap bean there is. And you get them those pinto beans before they get before that bean gets really formed in that shell, you pick it and snap them, boy, there's a flavor like no other, okay? And it just amazing. You say, "What in the world's that got to do with salvation?" I'll go back to my dad. My dad got saved when he was 14 years old. But I remember him telling me, he said, "You know what? I'd have got saved sooner if somebody had told me." That I would have got saved sooner if somebody had told me. So what do you mean? I mean, the fruit was there. It was ready to be harvested, but nobody stepped up to harvest. Nobody stepped up to harvest. You never know when it's going to be your opportunity to harvest. Now, I said we plow, we plant, we water. Sometimes we get to harvest. But not always. Not always. That's okay. But man, when you get that opportunity, don't pass it up. All right? Don't pass it up. Don't do that. But now you say, what does it take to do that? Look, if you will, in verse 31. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, once again, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. That mustard seed. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, and in Luke chapter 17, verse 6, both of those have the parable where the Bible says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Faith as a grain of mustard seed. That mustard seed represents the faith of men in both of those parables. And I think that is a marvelous application right here. And the emphasis is always on the smallness, if you will, of the size of that mustard seed. The size of that mustard seed. The Bible tells us it's a very, very small seed. I remember my dad went to the Holy Land. It's probably somewhere at my house. He brought back this little jar, and in that little jar it had mustard seed. And they're tiny. They're little old bitty things, all right? Now, you said, so what are we saying? Hey, the picture's simple. It doesn't require a lot of faith. That mustard seed's a tiny little thing. Hey, you don't have to be a giant of the faith. You don't have to have such faith that you could be joined with those folks in Hebrews chapter 11. Yeah, those, man, they had great faith. Great faith. Abraham willing to take God at his word and leave where he went, and I'll go wherever you tell me to go. He's willing to do that. And on Moses was willing to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the treasures of sin for a season, all right? Why? He had great faith. Preacher, I don't have that kind of faith. All right, got that tiny little bit. Bible said it as a grain of mustard seed. As a grain of mustard seed. You don't have to be a giant of faith. Honestly speaking, I believe what I'm fixing to say. You might not even think that what you're going to do and giving out that seed is going to do any good. You might be of the opinion to say, I'll do it because the preacher said it, but I don't believe anything's going to happen. Well, just go ahead and sow the seed. Just go ahead and sow the seed, all right? It doesn't require much faith to have a great impact. Just a small bit of faith can produce amazing results. Amazing results. Hey, we're to have faith in the Word of God. We're to have faith in the Word of God. Said, preacher, why should I do it? Because the Bible says do it. The Bible says to do it. You ought to have faith in the Word of God. But not only should you have faith in the Word of God, you ought to have faith in the God of the Word. That He's going to honor what He said. I believe it, Lord. I believe You're going to do what You said. I'm going to go all the way, all right? We need to remember our part, our responsibility, our obligation is one thing. Plant that seed. Get that seed out. My friend, the result is up to God. It's what He can do with the seed. It's what He can do with that seed. It's not the wonderful way you planted. My dad had ways he planted different seeds. I mean, you know, that's too deep. Okay, I'll push some dirt in, all right? That's not deep enough. Don't cover it with too much dirt. All right, make sure you put a little water in there with that. I mean, he had a way of doing it. And his different way. Well, the good thing about us in getting the seed of the Word of God out, it's not dependent on the classy way we do. There's not some right formula, if you will. It said, if you do it this way, it'll work. If you don't do it this way, it's not going to work. There's none of that. It's just simply you believing God and doing what He said to do. And we leave the results with Him. We leave the results with Him. But our job is to plant the seed. What our Lord can do when we exercise our faith to get that word out is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. I mean, it's mind-boggling. Though that Philippian jailer, that night God shook that jail. Those doors all opened. That Philippian jailer was about to kill himself, and Paul said, "Don't do that. Don't do that. Everybody's here. Nobody's left. You're okay. Don't worry. But don't kill yourself." And then that fellow said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Where was the planting of the seed? I read that Bible, and the only thing I can come up with is before that happened, the Bible said Paul and Silas were singing. I don't know if they were singing, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to die on Calvary tree." I don't know if that's what they were singing. Maybe they were singing, "We are all sinners, the Bible tells us so." You know, I don't know what they were singing. But I'm telling you this, when God shook that place and there hadn't been any other witnessing, but it was after that, that Philippian jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" God used something to plant that seed. He did it. He did it. There was an Ethiopian fellow in a chariot. He was out in the desert going home. And Philip, God sent him down there and put him there with his thumb out. And he had a guy come along in the chariot, and Philip heard him reading. And the only thing I said, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading? How can I accept some man should guide me?" Friend, if you can't get a better open door than that, all right? You can't get a better open door than that. So right there, the Bible said, starting right there, man, he took and preached Jesus to him. He preached to him. And that Ethiopian, he looked at him and said, "Well, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Hey, what was going on? Somebody planted some seed. He was getting it directly out of the Word of God, but he needed a little help. You just be faithful, and you might be surprised when God puts you there as the one who's available to help him out. "Preacher, I don't know anything." How much you need to know? You know what got you saved. Man, if it'll work for you, it'll work for anybody else. It'll work for anybody else. So what are you saying? I'm saying, hey, it's our job to plant the seed. In each of these parables, the parable of the sower, the parable of the seed growth, the parable of the mustard seed, the seed must be sown. The seed must be sown. Much of that responsibility of sowing lies with you and me. That lies with us. Look, never discount the seed that you can sow. Never discount the seed that you can sow. I'm not sure I remember the first time I was ever in involved in the garden with my dad. But I know it didn't happen this way. Oh man, I'm sweating it. I know I'm not going to get this seed just right. It ain't going to work. I'm going to put this seed in here and nothing's going to happen. Plant it, you come back the next day. I told you, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Come back the next day. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. And you come back again and again, and it seemed like I knew it. That day comes, you come out there, and there's that plant coming up. Listen, let me say to you, you plant that seed, and you let the work of conviction rest in the arms of God. It's His job. He takes the seed. He works it into the heart and the life of that one who heard it. God, if we'll just plant it, God will use it to accomplish His end. He'll do it. You may be surprised later on. You may be surprised when you get to heaven. Somebody's there and they'll say, "Remember me?" You'll say, "No. Well, I live right over here in that trailer park down there, you know, sort of across the street there, just off of Denton Highway. You came by one time, you left the track. You left something for me. And I just want you to know, I'm glad you did. I got saved. I'm just telling you and I, we do not know how to work. But that's God's business. Okay? Salvation, supernatural work of God. But we've got to plant the seed. Okay? Said, couldn't have God done it without us? Yes. But boy, He lets us in on it. He lets us in. I want to encourage you tonight, okay? And you hear a lot about it, but I just want to encourage you again. Grab you some tracks. And, you know, like I say, right now, if you're just absolutely a little bit, you know, shaky about actually speaking, well, just lay them somewhere somebody can find them. Hey, there. But work at it. Work at it. I took a bunch of tracks one time to the stock show. We went to the stock show because I knew I was going through all those exhibit barns. I love to do that and see stuff I can't afford, don't need, and don't want. But I still like to go through there. And man, everywhere I'd go up, somebody, of course, everybody, they'll talk to you. They'll talk to you and say, "Hey, you know, look at this. I talk to them and I say, "Hey, I'm only, would you read that? Would you just read this?" I never had anybody say no. Said, "What if they did?" I'd said, "Okay, I'll save it for the next guy. I'm just saying to you, you don't have to be, you do not have to be a, a genius at theology. You do not have to have the Bible memorized. Just don't have to do that. God can use you if you'll just get the seed out, okay? Listen, we live in a wicked day. Live in a wicked day. If there's ever been a day people need the Word of God, it is today. Man, it needs to get out. Can I just challenge you to get involved? Get that seed out, would you? Get that seed out. Bow with me if you would in prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. Anybody here say, "Preacher, I haven't been doing it, but I'm going to do my best if God will help me to begin getting that seed out." Would you slip your hand up? Would you pray for me? Anybody like it? Amen. Amen. Good. God bless you. Good. Wonderful. Heavenly Father, I pray now you'd just help us. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to be involved in your business. Lord, I pray you'd give us, I don't know that it's even courage. It doesn't take any courage to just lay a track somewhere where somebody can pick it up. But Lord, I pray you will work on us. You'd help us to develop a desire in us to get that seed out. To just do it more faithfully, more regularly. And that we might just everywhere we go try to get the seed out. So somebody can hear it. Somebody can read it. And Lord, even if that opportunity comes where you give us that opportunity to harvest that fruit. Lord, help us to be ready to do that. Use us in thy service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. It's good to have you tonight. You're dismissed. wonderful story of love. Good night, brother.